WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. A governor's commission dedicated to racial healing met for the first time Wednesday. Meanwhile, another man has been arrested in the alleged beating of DeAndre Harris during the white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, even as Harris himself has been charged with assault. And Governor McAuliffe has gone all in on Virginia's craft brew industry. But is the growth of that sector sustainable? This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, October 12th.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from Blue Ridge Community College. When you earn a two-year associate degree, transferring to a four-year college is possible through their guaranteed transfer agreement programs. More information at brcc.edu.
Yesterday, a panel dedicated to racial healing met for the first time in Richmond. Governor Terry McAuliffe created the Commission on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion after the violent white supremacist rally in Charlottesville. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain attended that meeting and filed this report.
The governor's order asks the 35-member commission to figure out how hatred and discrimination festered to the point where a woman was killed. They're supposed to explore how white supremacists become radicalized, what can be done to stop them. Finally, they're tasked with creating a list of policy changes the state can make to help prevent another Charlottesville. If it seems like a tall task, that's because it is.
That is perhaps the understatement of the year.
Co-chair Cynthia Hudson is with the Attorney General's office.
My hope is that we are able to quickly identify action items that are achievable and achievable within the near term.
Gail Christopher is a diversity consultant. She's helping guide the group.
I think it's very significant and timely and important and has great implications. And yes, we will be sharing, assuming we have permission to do that, we'll be sharing the work of this commission with other leaders around the country.
Members include religious and business leaders, plus educators. They have until the end of the year to suggest specific policies for the governor to submit to lawmakers. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Authorities say a third person has been arrested in the beating of a black man at the August 12th white supremacist rally in Charlottesville. A spokesperson for the sheriff's office in Lenoke County, Arkansas, said that 22-year-old Jacob Scott Goodwin of Ward, Arkansas, was arrested Tuesday on a warrant from Charlottesville by U.S. Marshals near his hometown. Lieutenant Steve Upman, a spokesman for police in Charlottesville, says Goodwin is charged with malicious wounding in the August 12th beating. Video of the rally shows several men beating 20-year-old DeAndre Harris. Two other men were also charged in the assault. They are being held in Virginia. Meanwhile, police said this week that Harris himself has also been charged with an alleged assault during that confrontation. Although his defenders say Harris was defending others against attacks by white supremacists using weapons. Former President Barack Obama is set to return to the campaign trail for the first time since he left office with a rally to help Democrat Ralph Northam in Virginia's closely watched race for governor. The Northam campaign announced Wednesday that the lieutenant governor and Obama will appear together at an event in Richmond next Thursday, October 19th. Virginia is one of only two states electing new governors this year, and the swing states contest is viewed as a possible early referendum on President Trump. Trump recently endorsed Republican Ed Gillespie in a tweet, but has otherwise not been directly involved in the race. Vice President Mike Pence is set to campaign with Gillespie on Saturday, while Obama's Vice President Joe Biden will campaign with Northam the same day. Virginia is one of the most highly educated states in the country, but a new report shows an uneven nature to that education, with some communities left behind. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
After graduating high school, most students move on to college and get degrees that help them enter the workforce. But a new study shows pockets of the state have high rates of poverty and low rates of students who move on to get some kind of post-secondary education or training. Wendy Kong is director of the Higher Education Initiative at the State Council of Higher Education for Virginia, which released the study this week.
We know that high school is no longer the finish line, that more students need to get jobs that require some form of post-secondary education, whether that's a certification or a degree.
The study recommends getting community organization and business groups involved in central Virginia, where the need is greatest.
At a regional level, it would be engaging the business community and those organizations. And at the school division level, it would be to really focus on a shared goal to track your students even after graduation.
That shared goal can focus on places where most high school students don't go on to some other kind of education or training after they graduate high school. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally, Governor McAuliffe has doubled down on Virginia's craft brew industry, but some in the business wonder if that sector's explosive growth has come at the expense of local players and if it's sustainable. WMRA's Jesse Nadler reports on the craft brew enterprise in Virginia.
It's no secret that outgoing Governor Terry McAuliffe has an ongoing love affair with Virginia's craft brew industry.
But there's nothing like enjoying a cold Virginia beer right here in the Commonwealth. That's why I even installed a kegerator at the Executive Mansion.
A kegerator. That's when you know it's serious. So why all the brew love? It's part of his administration's push to diversify the economy by attracting businesses in new and growing fields. Craft brew spans several sectors of the economy: agriculture, tourism, manufacturing. Craft brew is good for a lot of businesses, and it's not just about the beer.
Virginia has a good apple source. We're blessed with a number of orchards within close proximity of our cidery here. We source all local from within about 30 miles of the cidery.
Lindsay Dorier is a vice president at Bold Rock, a five-year-old hard cidery headquartered along Route 151's Wine and Brew Corridor in Nelson County.
You're more likely to purchase a Bold Rock hard cider when you visited us and you understand the ethos of the brand by actually being in the epicenter of it.
Other signs of McAuliffe's bromance with brew. This year, he signed a bill that doubles the number of banquet licenses a brewery or winery can obtain in a year, which allows it to participate in more festivals. More festivals equal more tourism dollars. He announced that Shenandoah Beer Works Trail, a route of 14 breweries in the area, received over $22,000 to develop a passport program. He recently approved a $15,000 grant to Stable Craft Brewery in Augusta County and a $50,000 grant to Three Notched in Charlottesville. In exchange, the breweries will add new jobs and buy Virginia-grown products. But his biggest brew coup by far has been to entice four major West Coast craft breweries to open East Coast facilities in Virginia: Deschutes, Stone, Green Flash, and Ballast Point. All received millions of dollars in public funds. Stone alone received $33 million worth of public money to set up shop in Richmond. Such sweetheart deals are not uncommon, but for native players such as Devil's Backbone, it's been a point of friction with McAuliffe's mission.
We have a belief that companies, especially wealthy companies, shouldn't be utilizing taxpayer funding to grow their businesses. You know, we found a business solution to grow our business.
Steve Crandall is the CEO of Devil's Backbone, and he's referring to the 2016 sale of his company to Anheuser-Busch InBev, a move that ended the brand's craft status but allowed the company to keep growing amid stiffening competition from out-of-state. He says he's beer positive and has nothing against the out-of-state breweries. His COO, Hayes Humphrey, says the problem isn't so much the public funding itself, but rather whom the government decides it goes to and how much.
There have been a few incentive packages offered to a few craft breweries around the state, but when you compare that to the packages that have been put together for out-of-state craft brewers to come open a second facility here, you know, there's no comparison between those dollars.
McAuliffe's big push into craft is happening, ironically, in a cooling market. People aren't knocking back as much craft as they were a few years ago. Production volume dropped to 5% from 8% last year, which itself was down from 18% growth in 2013. According to the industry journal Craft Brewing Business, McAuliffe's big bet on craft may actually backfire. Or is it backwash? A clue: Stone laid off 5% of its workforce last year, according to one industry observer.
It's set off shockwaves in the entire industry. That great heyday of growth is slowing significantly. It's more difficult for these little craft breweries to get out and make a decent living.
Nathan and Irma Bailey are still going to try.
What are we looking at?
So this is our brewing system right here.
They launched Great Valley Farm Brewery in Rockbridge County just 1 year ago, specializing in Belgian beer. They make a living selling pints from their tap room, offering scenic views of the southern end of the county.
we've got a lot of entrepreneurial spirit, you know, my wife and I, and we just thought, you know, we can do this and, you know, make a quality product. And, you know, we've got a beautiful location here, so we wanted to kind of share that with everybody.
To set himself apart, he's growing grapes as well and hired a 25-year vintner veteran to help him make wine. Why? Remember the magic word, diversify, because not everyone likes beer. For WMRA News, I'm Jesse Nadler.
I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy your Thursday.